content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Question. Hello, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Good day to you, Junior.
Good day to you as well, Bernadette. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I just got here by the skin of my rear end.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. Well, today's lawn day, and I haven't had my lawn mowed in several months because and you're like, really? But it really has been about 8 weeks because all the natural, I think they call it Dallas grass, and it's like mm-hmm. this wild grass, and it's real pretty. And so my daughter said, Mom, I kind of like it. It's pretty. Why don't you let it stay for a while? So I did, and I saved several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
and we'll put that money towards doing other yard work. But I was out in the yard today picking up doggy poo-poo.
Oh, that's always fun.
And pulling weeds and doing all the stuff that people do around their house. But it's a beautiful day here in Dallas. It's probably right now, what, about 70 degrees?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, and it's supposed to get up to almost 80 today, which is kind of
crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, we're very fortunate to have such beautiful weather.
Yeah.
And people listening all over the world, that includes Australia, maybe not so much. I don't know. What is the weather? Is it winter or summer in Australia?
They're
right now?
Opposite.
Summer, right?
Yeah, they're opposite of us. Yep.
Yeah, I should know that. But we've got a fantastic show today. We do. We're going to be talking to the North Texas Food Bank at the Half and talk about the importance of the work that they do and how many people out there right now really need our help. And just going to talk to Tricia Cunningham about it. She is the president and CEO of the North Texas Food Bank. And so, you know, years ago, one of the first, I was trying to remember, it was either the Grapevine Bar or it was the North Texas Food Bank, but we did our first two live remotes at those two places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was fun. And so, and I've still got my shirt. I didn't put it on this morning. I have a bedazzled North Texas Food Bank shirt, but
fancy.
It's in my closet somewhere. but yeah, so I'm happy to have them on the air today, and I'm always happy to have Von Eaglin on the air. But before we get to Von, I want to let everyone know that one of our amazing social media giveaway, it ends today. So today on social media, we are giving away that darling little mini camper for mini humans.
So cool. It's really cool.
Isn't it cute?
Yeah,
it's so
I love
cute.
It.
It's darling. It absolutely is. So children can pretend to go across the country in this retro camper, and they can play with their friends and bring road trips into their homes, right?
Yeah.
So you have one more hour or about 45 minutes to enter in the giveaway on our Instagram at One Life Radio and find the camper post and then follow the instructions to get your entry counted. So we're going to be announcing that here in a few minutes, but it's always great to have Von Eaglin with us. He is wonderful. We're going to be talking about Vaughn's solutions for the top holiday stressors. Vaughn is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices here in the Dallas area. He's also a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He is also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department, and his PhD research focuses on couple training relationships dialogue. You can find him at VaughnTalksTherapy.com or follow him on Instagram at VaughnTalks. Vaughn, how you doing? You sound like you got some camping equipment there in the background.
So I'm doing really, really well. So thanks for having me on the show, Bernadette.
Oh my gosh, I heard a little clanging. I was thinking, oh, well, you're giving us some props for
giveaway. I was a little bit, drinking a little water, trying to get ready for the segment, and wet my whistle a little. So
well, there you go. And it's important to wet your whistle, especially in radio. But it's always Yeah, absolutely. Well, dehydration is at the root of so many chronic diseases. People do not drink enough water, and they really should. I'm actually looking at a book right here right now that I keep in my stack, Your Body's Many Cries for Water by Dr. Batman Gahali, I believe is how you pronounce it. He's a medical doctor. It's a very famous book, but it's important to stay hydrated. And that'll help you de-stress, too. You can deal better with stress if you're better hydrated. But today we have lots of stress that we're going to solutions to stress that we're going to be talking about. So let's start with family.
That is probably one of the biggest stresses when it comes to dealing with the holidays, because a lot of people can get overwhelmed and have a lot of anxiety when it comes to dealing with families and family expectations. So you're definitely right, Bernadette. You know, family issues and family pressures are definitely one of the biggest stresses over the holidays.
Yeah. Why? Why is family? Is it because familiarity creates a familiar? Oh, I know what it is. It's the quote.
Familiarity breeds
contempt.
Is that what you're saying?
Huh? The what?
So it breeds contempt. I think
yes.
I've heard that before.
Yes.
So, well, I would say this, that, you know, there are so many different types of families out there. And so I'm fortunate I come from a family where we actually enjoy being around each other during the holidays. But not all families are like that, you know, because there are expectations that are placed on you. Because let's say I haven't talked to you the whole year, but now I'm expected to buy a gift and smile in your face, even though, you owe me some money or, you know, you've done me wrong or you've betrayed my trust in some way. But now we're expected to be in this family ritual, just this tradition where I'm expected to like you in front of other people. You know, mm-hmm. Some families are like that. When we talk about expectations, though, there are a lot of expectations that are placed on you when it comes to the holidays, at least for most people there are. And so, like I said before, there's gift giving. A lot of people fall into the happiness trap where we say, you try hard to be happy. You know, you're trying hard to be happy, and you're trying so hard to be happy that you're going to probably end up making yourself miserable because you're trying to live up to these expectations and the family and the social pressures of doing things like hosting an event. You know, a lot of people may have, a more packed social calendar. Now, with COVID, things have changed quite a bit. But still in all, a lot of people do feel overwhelmed because they've been planning a lot more. They've been thinking about visiting family. And so you want to try to find ways that you can eliminate stress, because a lot of these events can trigger anxiety for a lot of people. So,
yeah, I can only imagine when it comes to financial stressors, too. So many people are having financial issues right now this whole year. Mm-hmm. As many do every year. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we want to couple this along with the North Texas Food Bank today with Tricia Cunningham at the half. But how do you relay to those close to you that you really just don't have the money to participate in gift giving or the holiday celebrations this year? I would think that most people, especially this year, are really not expecting a lot, because we all need to save our money. Everyone, right?
Mm-hmm. So everyone's a little bit different. You know, there are some, and what I found during this time with the whole pandemic, there are some people who are doing worse. You know, they're destitute, and then there are some people that are actually doing much better. You know, like they really didn't need the stimulus check, but they got it and they banked it and they put it in their savings account. And so I see this dichotomy just personally within some of my caseload with regard to clients. Now, when we talk about saving money, you've heard me say this many times before, Bernadette, that it's not money, but it's always about the meaning of money when we talk about it within relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone expects you to give a gift you know, I would prefer if you were upfront and you were assertive rather than be passive or let them know aggressively that, hey, you know what, I can't do this. So, you know, monitor your expectations. Go ahead.
What, give me an example. What does that dialogue look like between two people, you know, of what you were just trying to, what you were just talking about?
So, well, you know, if I had to be, you know, if I had my ideal situation, what I would definitely suggest is, number one, that people get creative with gift giving. Instead of it being the actual monetary value, you may want to try to put some thought inside of the gift. For instance, like for my mother, I make her a calendar every year. And it has everyone's birthdays. It has, you know, a picture that represents everyone's month. And she really likes putting that by her desk. And there's a lot of thought that goes into that gift. And that doesn't cost very much money. You know, you go to Walgreens, you get a calendar printed. It costs you like 15 bucks with a discount. But, you know, you want to try to get a little bit more creative with your gifts or try to give back in a different way. For instance, like instead of giving you a gift that's monetary or a new PlayStation 3, hey, I'll babysit for you, you know, for this many times so you can have a night out on your with yourself. So try to get a little creative with the gifts instead of it just, you know, coming down to financial, you know, money. So
I'm laughing because I'm thinking of a creative idea I had years ago when I was very broke. And a friend of mine that was a boy, I'm not sure if he was my husband yet, but I wrote down little sexual favors and little pieces of paper. And put them in a little box.
I'm pretty sure most men wouldn't mind, you know, getting that box of, hey, you know what? You can have this sexual favor on this day. This, you can cash in your coupon at this time. And, you know,
yeah, you got to get creative, right? And I think of all the money I save.
Yeah, you did. You saved a lot of money, and I'm pretty sure he enjoyed what you were willing to, you know, give at that moment. So,
hey, it's the time of year where the gift of giving, right? we're gonna go to a quick break, Vaughn. I always love chatting with you. We're gonna be right back. More coming up with Vaughn Eaglin. We're talking about Vaughn solutions for the top holiday stressors. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
I know, it's so much fun.
Oh my gosh, I just love the holidays, and I love doing the show this time of year. And I, you know, I was telling Marie and the gang before we went live today, like, why can't we do this all year long? Why can't everybody be happy all year long?
Right,
Vaughn and Junior, why not? Vaughn, you're the shrink here. Why can't we be happy all year long?
That's difficult. A lot of people are seeking happiness, but don't always find it, and it makes them really unhappy. So happiness is different for everybody, though, and what they define as joy and being successful in life. And so, I would like it if people are happy all the time, but that's just not reality all the time. So,
yeah. I think that
I don't mean to break it down, Bernadette. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know, I don't know. I guess I have the gift of being silly. Like this morning, I was looking for a YouTube video for the song Love. You know, love is, what is it? How's it go? L-O-V-E. You want to sing it, Junior?
I don't know if I know the words well enough.
Yeah, I know. You know, like, you know, by Nat King Cole, the classic, you know, L is for the way you look at me. You know?
Yeah, I know the song.
That song. And so, but when I was playing it, I started dancing in my kitchen, okay? Like with myself. It's the simple things in life is what I'm trying to say, is being silly. And I felt silly, but I laughed at myself and I just kept dancing. And I think that people take life too seriously. And they are the ones that are so unhappy. Would you agree with me, Vaughn?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, because, you know, like, learning how to enjoy the small moments, the idiosyncrasies, and just being mindful of what's going on in the moment, as opposed to thinking about the past or being worried about the future, just being present in the moment, just learning how to be, that's a really, really important attribute, trait, or characteristic that people have to learn how to do. So,
yeah, you have to learn to soothe yourself. and laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and especially if there's children involved. And that's what I, one of the main things I wanted to talk about today with you. If, you know, what about, what should you say to your children if you're having financial issues during the holiday? Because I know it like scares. I know when I say turn the lights off, you know, or I talk about money, my kids will say, why, Mom, are we losing money? You know, are we broke or whatever? You know, I remember my dad doing that, too. When he would talk about money, I would get super nervous. And so we do have to be vigilant about what we say in front of children, right?
Yeah. So, you know, children are not ready to hear everything that adults are going through. So you do have to maintain a degree of discretion whenever you are disclosing information to children. But, you know, it's okay to, again, you need to figure out what age they're at, if things are age appropriate. But it is okay to be honest with children about certain things and have some honest discussions with children about certain things. Now, you don't tell a five-year-old that, hey, we're going to get the lights turned off and we're about to get kicked out our apartment. You know, like, they may not be ready for that type of information. But if it's a child that's, you know, 14 years old, we can talk about, you know, like, you know, some actual adult things, and you can actually teach them, you know, aspects of responsibility, how choices affect your life and consequences of certain choices. And there's a difference. And then, you know, I talk about finance sometimes, Bernadette, I have a degree in finance, but there's a difference between being broke and then being poor. So broke is just a state of being, but poor really is a mentality, is a state of mind. And so you want to be able to differentiate between those two whenever you don't have enough money. So, you know.
Well, I like that. I like that. And when I was talking about the lights, my father would just say, you know, turn the lights off. What do you think we are, the Rockefellers? And we had, you know, stuff like that. And I had much older brothers and sisters, so I heard it at a very early age. You know, when they were teenagers, you know, turning the heat up without asking mom or dad, you know, which can be very expensive in a big home with a lot of kids. But, you know, but I think that it's good to remind children to be mindful of what things cost, you know, so they don't waste, you know, waste not, want not, all those old expressions that really can teach you some good life lessons as children.
I agree. We used to get the one about, you know, I'm not trying to air condition the whole neighborhood when you keep the door open, especially in summertime in Texas, and, you know, make sure you close the door, close the refrigerator door, and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, by and large, it's really important that you teach kids responsibility. Whenever it comes to money, and, you know, you may want to help them understand how money is finite, you know, at least for most people, it is finite. So like if it was a young kid, you help them learn what a money jar looks like, make it clear so they can see whenever money comes in, whenever money leaves, and then what they're buying with that money, because there's a physiological response that happens whenever people actually spend money. You know, that's why banks would like to get us hooked on credit cards, you know, because you don't feel whenever you actually swipe that credit card as you do whenever you put cash inside of someone's hand. It's like, out, you know what, that kind of hurt a little bit because I see I don't have that much money anymore, or I've, you know, lost some money, or I've, you know, purchased this item. So so teaching kids responsibility, learning how to return responsibility to kids, not doing things for them, not making them enabling the child, you know, all those things are really important. And those conversations come up a little bit more during this time, or at least they should, with regard to good parenting skills.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the stressors? This is a great question. The stressors that the holidays can cause for relationships.
Yeah. So this is one thing we haven't talked about, and it comes up for a lot of people, is that, you know, holidays aren't fun for everybody. You know, some people have a lot of anxiety. Some people have a lot of, you know, expectations, and they feel overwhelmed. But other people sometimes feel a sense of loss, a sense of sadness, a sense of loneliness. I mean, if you think about it, the holidays for over 250,000 people in the U.S. are going to be very different because they've lost a loved one due to the pandemic. And so they have their chair empty at the kitchen table, or, you know, they're not connecting with that person, or they may feel, you know, they may experience like things like triggers, like, you know what, I used to do this with dad, or I used to do this with my brother, and now we can no longer do that. So they'll be going through a grieving period during this time, during the holidays. And so you have to be mindful that if you're going through a grieving period, it's okay not to be okay. You may experience things like, you know, the shock, the denial, the anger, the, you know, the bargaining, the depression, like all those things will come along with the grieving process. And, you know, the holidays may not go the way you want to. And so you may even grieve how the holidays, you know, that dream that you had of the holidays being a certain way, that may not happen either. So, you know, you need to be mindful of that. You know, some people are experiencing loss, sadness, and loneliness, and that can be a part of the relationship stress that some people are going through during the holidays.
Absolutely. You know, I think I've told you this story before. Certainly people that have longtime listeners have heard the story before. I remember right after I got divorced for the first time and with two small children, shopping in Central Market, which I did. We had big, you know, holiday meals together. I cried all the way through the store, Vaughn. By the time, I can laugh about it now, but by the time I got to the checkout, these two guys were looking at me like, oh my God, because my eyes were all watery and stuff. And,
so you're crying and all over the ham and the turkey burger.
Oh, I know. Man. And I mean, everything I picked up was like, oh, you know, like that reminded me of something. And, you know, all these, you know, just all these, you know, dishes that we used to create. Anyway, when I got to the checkout, these two guys were so kind to me and they said, it's going to be okay. Oh my gosh. Oh, you're going to have a beautiful holiday. And just them caring had changed the whole rest of the holiday. I felt loved and cared about in that very moment. And it really did change things for me. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of people out there suffering and I need to remember that. But I'll never forget it as long as I live, how just a little bit of kindness can really change somebody's whole holiday. So I encourage anyone out there listening that, you know, gets an opportunity to really, you know, touch somebody's heart to do it, because it does matter in this thing that we call life that we're living. But so let's talk about this. So gift giving. OK, so many people feel great, including me, when I give great gifts. But for some, it can also cause a lot of stress. So how can we ease the pressure on ourselves to always find the perfect gift?
So, well, everyone, you know, receives gifts differently. My wife and I were having this conversation, like, what kind of gifts should you get a man? I was like, just get him a card so he can decide what he wants on his own. But with the woman, you have to be a little bit more strategic with regard to figuring out what gift they want, because it's not just a gift, but the meaning of the gift, like what's behind the gift. For instance, like if I say, you know what, this is Texas and, you know, I don't wear sweaters or I don't, you know, it's kind of hot where I live. And I see you and you buy me something that I really don't want, like an ugly Christmas sweater, and I have to re-gift that thing to someone else the next year. Like that is not a good thing. So what, you know, whenever you're giving a gift, you have to figure out, you know, what does this gift mean to the other person? You know, some people have an expectation that you give gifts. Some people, you know, whenever they get a gift, they don't appreciate it. Other people, when they give gifts, they want you to have a certain response when they get the gift. So you want to make sure that you monitor your expectations. And if you're having financial difficulty, like I said before, you want to be creative with some of your gift giving. And, you know, if you're gift giving to someone that is a loved one, put some thought into it. Try to plan ahead, because you know the holidays are going to come around. And if you know this is going to come around every single year, that gives you an opportunity to plan ahead. So think about things that you can predict and then try to head them off, because that's going to help you with your stress and then you're not doing it at the last minute.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I'm no actress. Okay. So I can't fake or pretend anything. I remember one year, my sister-in-law, who I love dearly, gave me, this skirt, okay? It looked like something that a grandmother would wear. And I can remember trying to act like I really, really liked it. And so my best advice to, and she's, I love her to pieces. We're still very close. But my advice is, do not give anyone a piece of clothing for a Christmas present unless you know them really, really well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. So, you know, especially if it's something that you expect for me to wear, you know, like I have my own sense of style, my own clothing. And unless I trust your sense of style and your clothing, then maybe you want to stay away from, now, you know, some socks, some underwear, you know, that's maybe doable. But if it's something that is, that you think is stylish and I'm just like, I would never wear that in a million years, like you probably want to stay away from that. And in fact, that's not even my size, you know, so, you know.
Well, of course, you know. Yeah, you want to respond graciously, and I did.
Think about who you're giving your gift to when you're buying them clothing. So.
Yeah, because you would never want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I think that's a good rule in gift giving to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. But
like whenever you're talking about gifts and you're shopping for gifts, you want to also set some boundaries around how much money you're going to spend, because you know we were talking about finances and different things like that. So think about your budget ahead of time whenever you're doing your Christmas shopping and you're doing your gift giving as well. So.
Yeah, it's difficult to stick to a budget sometimes, especially when you see something that you know the other person will really love. And I like I said, you know, I thought I'm always a generous. I have a generous heart, but around the holidays, I get a little crazy. You know, I'm like, oh, I want to do this or do that. You know, just because I love giving, and I think a lot of people do. But as you said, you know, you can get creative with your gift giving. But specifically in a relationship, can a Christmas gift make or break a new relationship? And if it does, that's probably a really bad sign, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that if it does, well, let me see. It depends on what the gift means. And if you're in a new relationship and there's an expectation that you spend a certain amount of money on a gift, I would probably say, it can mean something in a relationship. Let's say you and I are dating, Bernadette, and we've been together for, let's say 6 months. And then I give you a gift that's $5 or $10, and I don't put much thought into it. The meaning of that is like, you know what? I didn't take the time to make sure that you were important to me or that you were significant with regard to that $5 or $10 gift.
You know? Breaking up with you. We're finished.
You think I'm no good, Bernadette.
I'm not motivated by money. I'm really not. But I don't know. It depends upon the situation. If a guy is struggling, was the thought behind it more than anything. But, $5 or $10, I would think, that's about the price of a six pack of beer, right? Or, you can probably afford a little more than that.
Yeah. if I'm doing really well for myself, I don't have any trouble taking care of my bills, and I buy you a $5 or $10 gift, and we've been dating a long period of time, you can probably say, your gift means that I don't mean very much to you, and I didn't know you were leaving, Bernadette, for such a crappy gift. I would hope that you would stay with me, but so again, think about what the gift means. Does it mean the person's important? Does it mean that they're significant? Does it mean that you took the time to think about what they like? Does it mean that you noticed what they like, even in the small moments of daily life? You walk by something and say, I wouldn't mind having something like that. Think about their habits. Think about their routines. Hey, I would like to work out, lose some weight. Well, let me buy you some new shoes. Let me, think about some activity wear or something like that. So you want to try to do some things to notice what that person is about, and then give them a gift that fits, their personality, what they like to do, their routines, their rituals, and different things like that. So,
yeah. Well, you mentioned grief earlier on in the conversation, and grief, the loss of a loved one, it can be triggered, especially during the holidays, as you said. But how can we help those close to us that are going through the loss of a loved one? If they're suffering tremendously, what can we do to help them?
Well, the person themselves, I would say, number one, you have to give yourself permission to grieve, because a lot of people inhibit their emotion, or they become emotionally dismissive. So they think, I shouldn't be crying, or I shouldn't be sad. But there's a paradox to grief, that the more you try not to, the heavier it's going to come on later. So you have to allow yourself to experience those emotions. Now, there's a difference between wallowing in the emotion and then being aware of it. So learning how to be aware of it, because when we talk about grief, you and I have talked about this on many different occasions, that they say stages, but stages implies that it happens in order. And whenever you're grieving, you're going to be all over the place with regard to the stages. You'll be angry one day, then you go back to shock, then you go back to denial, then you go back to depression, then you go back to bargaining. And so you have to allow yourself to experience these emotions, because you're going to have some triggers that come up.
Oh, yeah.
And what we call a grief, we call it a spiral staircase, that you have to continue to go around and around with regard to the grieving stages. So, again, allow yourself to grieve. You have to make some meaning of the grief. You may want to do some things like writing a letter, figuring out how you can reconcile the loss of that thing or that loved one. And let's say, my uncle died. Well, my uncle would want us to do this. We always would look at Christmas lights during this time. So let's gather the family and look at Christmas lights, because we know Uncle Larry would love us to look at Christmas lights this year. Mm-hmm. And we're just remembering him in a way, and kind of like paying homage to him. But again, there's a lot of different ways you can grieve, but, you have to make meaning of the grief at the end of the day.
Well, and I'm thinking good memories and bad memories, embrace the good. And we have to go to break, but Vaughn, always love having you on the show, and I look forward to seeing you at some point in the next few months, and thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Of course. All right, that's Vaughn England, you guys. He's a fantastic licensed professional counselor and supervisor, and works with two group practices here in the Dallas area. You can find him at VaughnTalksTherapy.com or follow him on Instagram at VaughnTalks. We'll be right back with the Texas Food Bank. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Frosty the Snowman. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. I'm so excited to announce that Tricia Cunningham is here with us today. She is the president and CEO of the North Texas Food Bank, that's NTFB, which is a nonprofit focused on eradicating hunger in a diverse 13-county service area. It is estimated that more than 900,000 people in the North Texas area do not know where their next healthy meal is coming from. That breaks my heart to even read that. But Cunningham and the NTFB team, along with their partner agencies and thousands of volunteers, provide access to almost 97 million meals last fiscal year. And prior to the North Texas Food Bank, Cunningham was a 30-year global marketing, communications, branding, and public affairs executive at Texas Instruments, where she most recently served as a chief citizenship officer. And Tricia is currently serving as the director for Feeding Texas, Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas, and the International Women's Forum Dallas chapter. Their website at the North Texas Food Bank is ntfb.org. Such an honor to have you with us today, Tricia. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Bernadette. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I love the work that you guys do. And actually, I don't know if you heard it at the opening of the show. We did one of our first live remotes at the North Texas Food Bank many years ago with Jill Lane. She and I went there and just had a really good time. There's lots of opportunities to volunteer at the North Texas Food Bank, isn't there?
There are so many opportunities for our community to get involved. Volunteering is one of those. I'm so glad you guys came out, but I can tell you the needs today are so different. They practically changed overnight whenever COVID hit. And wow, we are doing so many more direct mobile distributions. What we typically would have had 200 or 300 families served at one of our mobile distributions, we could see 2,000-3,000 families. Or at our last distribution at Fair Park, we fed almost 25,000 people, 8,500 families in just a matter of hours. That just puts an exclamation point on the impact of COVID and the economic crisis that we're in.
Well, you know, and I can't stand to see people suffer. That go, you know, homeless people, knowing that there's people out there, especially children, that don't know where their next meal is coming from. So the work that you guys do is so incredibly important. I think a lot of people, though, like to hear the history of how things are started. So what's the history of the North Texas Food Bank? How did it start?
So it was back in 1982. We had four fearless leader women in our community that saw that food was going to waste and that there were people that were going hungry. And they said, we can't stand this either. They couldn't stand this. And they said, we've got to do something about it. So they formed the North Texas Food Bank and started by gathering surplus food and getting it distributed. The very first year that they were in operation at that time, they distributed about 400,000 pounds of food.
Wow.
And you fast forward to today, we're going to distribute more than 400,000 pounds of food today, you know, so you can see how things have changed. But thank goodness for those women who saw that need, because this foundation that has been built for almost 40 years, that it's 38 years this year, has helped enable us to be able to serve the needs of our community today.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we serve 13 counties. You mentioned that in the intro. 10,000 square miles. And so it's urban, suburban, and rural hunger. And our particular service area has the fifth highest number of people in the country that are food insecure.
Well, you know, great things can happen when people with passionate hearts take action. And, you know, you said that COVID has changed everything. And so how has COVID impacted the food insecurity and the North Texas Food Bank's response? What exactly has changed?
Well, it would probably be easier to say what hasn't changed. But on an annual basis, we rely on about 40,000 volunteers a year to come in and to be able to help us sort and pack food. Many of them are from corporations, and of course, most corporations sent their employees home to be able to work from home to make it safer, and they certainly didn't want them to be able to come to the food bank in a group setting since they were trying to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. So we had to innovate quickly and tried to figure out other methods to be able to get workers in at a time that we needed them most, because we also had to pivot our distribution. We, instead of taking pallets of food out to the more than 250 partners that are in our feeding network that have food pantries or other feeding programs, we were having to kit boxes to help them to safely distribute food, and the same thing for our mobile distributions. So that required extra labor to be able to kit the food. It required specific types of food that we needed to make sure that we had ordered so that we could put together a nutritionally balanced food box for families mm-hmm. that they could have. And typically they would go and choose what food, but we couldn't allow that in this type of an environment. And we had to quickly shift to a very bulk distribution method wow. and to try to serve as many people as possible, because so many people were uncertain about what the future was going to hold for them. Mm-hmm. We even had the National Guard come in and help us for several months, or we would not have been able to distribute the amount of food that we were able to, just because we needed the extra manpower that we did not have available to us at that time. Wow. Things are changing. We are continuing to use an innovative method called Get Shift Done, which was an opportunity to use a technology called Shift Smart, a company that has a shift type work. Use that, partnered with our local community foundation, Communities Foundation of Texas, and they targeted unemployed hospitality industry workers that were paid from some donated funds at the Communities Foundation to come in and basically help subsidize our volunteer workforce. And they were paid. So it was a nice win-win-win. It was a win for the workers. It was a win for us. And it was a win for the community, so that we could try to make sure that we could get that food distributed out. That model has gone nationwide now.
Oh, wow.
In communities. Yeah. So it was really an innovative partnership with local community foundations or funding sources and workers that needed some extra help and to be able to be paid to be able to come in and do something good.
That's
and most
wonderful.
Of them felt like they were helping not only themselves, but they were helping people like them that needed access to food whenever they may not have ever had it. We're seeing about 40% of the people, and this is a nationwide stat, about 40% of the people that are coming to get assistance from food banks and our feeding networks have never had to have food assistance before.
Oh, wow. That is so wonderful. And you're right. It is a win-win-win, right? And right now is a good time for me to announce, not that it's a lot of money, but Team OLR is donating $100 to the Texas Food Bank today to do our part to pitch in. And I encourage everyone that an extra $5 or $10 to go to ntfb.org and make a donation as well. And how about we go for a quick break, Tricia, and we come right back. We'll talk some more about the North Texas Food Bank. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Everyone, stay tuned. More coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Oh my gosh, I just love the Christmas music, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio, and we want to keep it playing while I announce the winner, Junior of the Mini Camper.
Oh, yes.
The winner is Erica Agbayani. She is a registered nurse and mother of two boys, and I'm so happy that she won our social media giveaway. So congratulations, and thank you to everyone out there that's participating in our giveaways. We're having a lot of fun with it, aren't we?
Absolutely, and yeah, her kids are going to really enjoy that thing. something. It's so cool.
Oh, yeah. It is so cute. But thank you for listening, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio if you're just now tuning in. And I have Tricia Cunningham with us. She is the president and CEO of the North Texas Food Bank, a nonprofit focused on eradicating hunger in a diverse 13-county service area here in North Texas. So, Tricia, let me ask you this. Do you expect the number of families in need to increase next year in 2021?
You know, what we're seeing right now is a lot of families that are struggling. We're seeing businesses that are continuing to close. And so not only are the food banks going to be really trying to struggle to keep up with the demand, but we see families, their resources, there's no approved additional stimulus packages right now for families, no additional improved unemployment. There hasn't been an increase in SNAP benefits for those that qualify for that program, even though the food costs have dramatically gone up. And so we do believe there's going to be more needs because a vaccine may start to roll out, it's going to take several months for that to sort of become effective so that people can start going back to work. And so many businesses have closed that the economic impact of the pandemic is going to last for many months, if not years longer.
Yeah, I was going to say for maybe even through 2022. I mean, it has destroyed a lot of people's finances. It really has. So how many meals have you provided this year compared to last year?
We closed our fiscal year at the end of June, and we were probably on target between 80 and 85 million meals before the pandemic. But that last quarter of April, May, June, we ended up providing almost 97 million meals total in the community. Just during the COVID part alone, from mid-March through the end of September, we provided almost 75 million meals just in that time period. So we are consistently almost doubling our distribution that we had in prior years because the demand is there. Our community, I always used to say that hunger is hidden because oftentimes it's the people that would be checking you out at the grocery store or maybe someone that was your favorite waiter at your restaurant. We typically serve the working poor, but now things have changed that so many of those people that were in vulnerable positions have lost their jobs, and they don't have enough resources to be able to sustain for a very long period of time. So the food bank is helping them to provide access to food so that way they can stay in their house and pay rent another month or their mortgage or even help their child with distant learning.
It's heartbreaking. It really is. And, you know, how do you believe we can end hunger in the U.S. and worldwide, but especially here in the United States?
Hunger is a symptom of poverty. And so to address that, you have to look at the root cause issues of poverty. Some of that includes being able to make a livable wage, to be able to have access to nutritious food so that you can get beyond whatever the health circumstance. And so you have to rewind a little bit and think about, are people not getting the education that they need or the job skills training that they need to be employed in jobs that are going to provide them a livable wage? Do they not have access to adequate health care and then nutritious food to make sure that they can maintain a healthy lifestyle? Why are people hungry, and what is the reason why they are in the situation that they're in? And so there are many organizations in our community that are addressing those root cause issues, and I think food banks and those organizations working together is what's going to have a long-term impact on our community. There will always be people that need to have access to food, but there's no reason why anyone in our community has to be hungry. We certainly would love to reduce the number of people that, you know, wonder if they're going to have a meal on their table tonight.
Yeah. What about the homeless? Does the North Texas Food Bank feed the homeless as well?
Absolutely. That is one of the groups that we serve, but people are often surprised that it's only about 5% of the 900,000 people that are food insecure today that we're serving. We work with so many homeless shelters and programs that do feed the homeless, and we help provide food to their programs to help feed them. But it's a very small percentage. Like I said, the most is the working poor, and then we have senior citizens that, you know, they've worked their life, but they can't make ends meet on those Social Security, or they have to make trade-offs of, do I buy my food or do I buy my medicine? And then, of course, you have children, children that are going to school and often get their meals from school, and they struggle to have enough nutritious food to eat on the weekends or even during the summer months or even the longer breaks. So we have to take care of those families that just need a little extra help.
Well, I encourage everyone to, and that's one of the things I want to talk about real quick here. Well, not real quick. We only have a couple of minutes, but I certainly want people to know what's the best way for the people out there listening in the community to help and donate in their area, not just this holiday season, but moving forward through this financial crisis that our country is going through.
For the North Texas Food Bank and food banks across the country, wherever you're listening, the probably the best way right now is financial contributions. Here at the North Texas Food Bank, for every dollar that's provided, three meals can be provided with that dollar, and 95% of all of our resources go directly to feeding programs. So we keep our overhead low so we can serve more that way. The second thing is to volunteer. We are shifting in and adding more volunteer opportunities as people feel more comfortable in the masked, socially distanced environment to be able to help out. So volunteer with your local food bank. There's external mobile distributions that are outside, as well as there are opportunities inside. The third way is if you do want to give food, try to give it in bulk. Choose one item like a peanut butter or canned tuna or something, so it makes it easier whenever mm-hmm. it's donated to the food bank that you don't have to sort it. It's all one date code. We can immediately get that in there because it takes extra labor if we have to go through the sorting process. But that's a great way to do it. And I know our food bank and others, they actually have virtual food drives online. So if companies want to do a virtual food drive, since many of them are not in the office, or organizations, they can do it virtually as well, and then that good. Money can be used to purchase food.
Yes, and it's such good information. And Tricia, we're gonna have to have you come back. Otherwise, I'm gonna miss the goal. We have a couple seconds to get off the air. Thank you so much, Tricia Cunningham. I encourage everyone to donate to the North Texas Food Bank. That's ntfb.org. Everyone, help out, please. Oh my gosh, it breaks my heart to think of so many people that are hungry. Anyway, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.